This morning, if you brought your Bibles or would like to look in the pew Bibles, we're going to go to the Gospel of John and simply go to the 23rd verse of the 4th chapter of John's Gospel. May the people of God be blessed in this reading and hearing from God's holy word as recorded in John 4, 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, and the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for such the Father seeks to worship him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
A few weeks ago, when Nathan and I were visiting about the message series for the month of January, I was sharing with him that a lot of the news programs were already talking about promotions for their January headlines, that it would be about New Year, New You, implying that they were going to share information to help everyone live a healthier lifestyle in 2013. So as I thought about that, I began to realize it didn't sound like they were going to go too much into depth about the spiritual aspects of your lifestyle and how that can improve your life. So I told Nathan, what if we went with the idea of exploring the individual perspectives one has on worship and how that improves our spiritual journey and how the different elements of worship actually nurture our lives. So that's what we're going to do. Today we're both looking at the idea of worship and the impact that has upon us. And then next week we're going to look and explore the sacraments. We know that the sacraments primarily are holy baptism and the Lord's communion, but what all that means to us as we live out our faith. And the next week we're going to discover anew the elements of the Lord's Prayer and how we should live by those principles within that prayer. And then the final Sunday we'll be looking at just what we said a moment ago in the creed, the various creeds we have. We have several of them listed, and I've tried to make sure that we recite several of them throughout the year. But let's just kind of look at what that is saying about us spiritually, how that's helping our lives as well. So that's the plan anyway. As we look at the idea of worship, why is it so important? Why is worship of God so important? Well, first of all, we know that God wants worship. God requires that in his commandments of us. As with anyone, though, if we look at why that's so important to God, we realize God wants us to build relationship with him. Think about it. Any relationship that's important to you, you know you need to spend time in that relationship for that relationship to grow, to nurture, to grow closer. You must spend time with them. You say, well, I spend time with God, I talk to God, I meditate upon God's creation, I spend time with God. I don't need to get up on a Sunday morning and come to a sanctuary and to worship God. And you're exactly right. But you see, there's a very important component of the worship of God that has been instilled in what God required and what God desires from the beginning of time to today. And that's called the corporate worship. Not corporate in the sense of business, but the together worship, the assembly of worship. As we know it, the body of Christ. Believers praying with one another rather than just to God. Worship that's so vital. The fellowship, the singing and praising of God. Hearing God's ancient word spoken to us, absorbed by us, speaking to us in a fresh way, the ancient word of God that was written thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago and yet applies to us as if it was just written a moment ago. That's the wonder of the presence of God. This connection we have between one another and our God never fades, never diminishes in its importance and impact upon our human day-to-day existence. It cannot be imitated. It should not be neglected. And still have the same value in our life. There is no other experience in our living like there is that of worship. What worship can do for us. What worship does for our relationship with God. Think about the events that are important to you in your life. The greatest events that are so important are the ones that are shared. And certainly the same is true of worship as we savor that which we share. I know. Sometimes we have an attitude about worship. And that attitude can range anywhere from, say, the little tyke who was going out the doors following the worship service, tugging on the preacher's sleeve and saying, "That's pretty good for a dollar." Or it can go to the other extreme of the attitude of the little girl whispering to her mother during the middle of the sermon, just going, "If we give him more money, will he stop talking now and let us go?" We're real guilty of that when we think about our worship and those two extremes. So on any given Sunday morning, you wake up and you make the decision, the choice, that you're going to come to church. So, how do you gain that fresh perspective on worship? Well, here's just a few thoughts I have on the subject. First thought I had about this was we have to prepare our hearts. If you think about worship as in the context of a conversation, you're going to pray to God, you're going to praise God, and sing unto God. You're going to absorb what he's saying to you through his word. So if you think about worship as a form of conversation, don't you really prepare yourself anytime you have an important conversation you need to have with someone? I know I do. And I know that it will always go a little smoother than expected when I do so. Well, I think that's the same thing about when we wake up and we go to worship. We need to prepare our hearts. I love what Psalm 51, 10 through 12 states. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." David wrote this psalm after the prophet Nathan came to him and confronted him, actually rebuked him severely for what David had done. David, in trying to downplay, if you will, the scandal between him and Bathsheba, had sent Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, to the front four lines into battle so that he would be killed into problem. Well, Nathan didn't exactly share that perspective with him. And as he rebuked David, David realized that he could not worship his God or remain fully in his divine plan if he did not deal first with his sin. He needed to come clean with God. And he knew it. And God knew it. When we come to worship, we may not be loaded down, you see, with a boatload of guilt and shame, but we each have our share of sins to confess. So we just need to have a little talk with Jesus. Needed a little gospel in here. Look, the ushers come peeking through the door. What's going on in there? We're just having church. Come on in. Okay. I got the thumbs up. Well, before I was so lovingly interrupted. Where was I? We each need to have our little talk with Jesus, and we each need to lay down our heavy burdens. You didn't scoop that quite enough. There you go. Anyway, the point is, we do need to come and to share our guilt, share our sin, confess it, and as we prepare for the sacrament of the Holy Communion, it's going to give us a wonderful opportunity to prepare our hearts to experience and encounter the grace of God through worship. Secondly, oh, by the way, you know where I got this idea? Have you ever watched the movie Preacher's Wife? Well, the preacher's stumbling through the sermon a little bit, and the wife can tell, who's the choir director, can tell he needs some help. And so throughout the sermon, he looks to the choir. And anyway, you need to see that movie. The second thought on this is, come into worship expecting a blessing. Come prepared in your heart, and then come expecting a blessing. If you've ever experienced a blessing, you know that you have to express that thanksgiving. And if you've experienced a blessing in the worship service this morning, I want to hear an amen.
Amen.
And if you haven't, and you're hoping to, just say, come Lord Jesus, now. As with all matters of faith, don't you first have to believe it? Don't you have to believe it in order to experience it? Again, we're speaking of an experience, of an encounter with God. To what or whom can we compare God? Who is like the Lord? What you are, say, to a paper airplane, God is to you. Now hang in there with me on this one. Make one and then challenge it to race you around the block. Who's faster? You see, the thing exists only because you formed it to do so. And it flies only because someone throws it in the air. God asks Isaiah, to whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? As if his question needed an answer, he gives one. I am God. I alone. I am God, and there is no one else like me. And King David marveled. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Okay. On any given Sunday morning, you and I may have the power to choose whether we're going to worship. But God is the power. No one and nothing compares with Him. And if you come to worship expecting a blessing, God will not fail you nor disappoint you. God will not fail you nor forsake you. He will supply the power, but you must, however, supply the belief. And finally, I think it's important as we prepare for worship to also prepare to respond to the gift. I think after the holidays, I can pretty well attest to the fact that Asbury is second only to God in its generosity. Not only to me and to the staff, but this is an appropriate point to say that Asbury has fulfilled its generosity in meeting its shared ministries. Amen. You see, we are connectional, and we are not just taking care of these walls. We go so far beyond these walls and touch lives that we will never meet, but God knows, and that is great. But as I think about the generous things that were done for me and Tony and the family during the holidays, the cards and the gifts, the new chair for the office. I think about this, and I remember what my mother always taught me. She says, you write your thank you notes. You always write your thank you notes. And I pass that on to my kids, and they write their thank you notes. Because it's so important to acknowledge that you've been given something that's heartfelt and is so thoughtful. And if for some reason somebody doesn't get a thank you note from me, it's because I forgot, not because I'm lazy. And so now as I've gotten older, I am writing a list of those that I need to thank you. And I do try to check them off so no one is missed. And I think it's important to give, but also extremely important to respond to the gift. And worship, my friends, is a gift from God. It's not just something we're doing to God. You see, that's why it's a corporate, that's why it's a body of Christ, that's why it's a together experience. Worship is believing you are entering into the presence of God. Who does that without being grateful? Someone who either doesn't realize that or has taken it for granted. For instance, when you lead worship, I mean, David and Stephen and Gail and the choir and the ushers and acolytes and myself, we can get kind of caught up in what's coming up next, making sure that we're all meeting our responsibilities so that the worship experience flows and it feels strong and it's inspirational. And we can get so caught up in what we're doing that we have to work and be kind of careful and make sure that we find our moments to actually worship. So when David's saying the prayer, I worship. When the choir is singing, I worship. And hopefully when I'm preaching, there's worship going on. Each of us must find that opportunity to respond to God's gift of His holy presence, His awesome involvement, His moving spirit in and among His people in this act called worship. The Gloria Patri, the doxology, the hymns we sing, the prayer responses are all intended to be moments we acknowledge with praise and thanksgiving the essence of God in our worship, our beings, our lives. Hear the text again, but the hour is coming. And now is where the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for such the Father is seeking to worship Him. Isn't that amazing? Right there, it reminds us this is not a one-way conversation. This is not a one-way experience. God is watching you. God is watching me. And not only that, He's hoping and praying that we love Him enough that we will want to worship Him. Isn't that just amazing? I understand that there are times that desire may take an attitude adjustment because we're feeling pretty low or we're feeling ripped up or torn apart. But isn't that when we perhaps need to be worshiping God the most? After all, our loving God is not doling out these troubles. No. No, our loving God, as Scripture tells us over and over and over again, is the one who heals us of our troubles and binds up our wounds. The psalmist also wrote, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You see, that's my prayer. That's really what the message is about all today, is just that hope that you will be inspired and desire to come into the house of the Lord and to worship with one another and to worship God and to feel the freshness of your spirit that only the experience of true worship can give you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.